at us. Do you want to talk about it? Or?
Oh yeah, once I get started, I'll never quit.
Okay. Place to start would be well, one of the things that we want to try and understand as much about as we can is sort of what the circumstances were surrounding the Goon Squad and the establishment of the Goon Squad and how that developed and when people first began to, you know, realize that that was going on, and some of the incidents that happened, the harassment and stuff. You two and Ellen worked together as CHRs on the reservation? You weren't?
Manderson. I went to Manderson. There was no meeting. Nobody seemed to know about it. Byron Long and Hildegard Catchett shoved that paper onto me and said that they were starting a civil rights organization, so I signed my name there. And if I remember well, Barbara Means had signed Dave Steele's name to that paper, and I thought that was illegal because she's not married to him. So then I got the others to one side and I said, I think Barbara, you know, Barbara has pulled this on AIM before and turned against them. And now Barbara Means, and now she's back, yeah, she claims Thurl. Not Russ Means, no. The day after this, the whole place was full of little clocks, but I got rid of it. know where we, which way we were running to.
And they were coming up there.
Yeah, they were coming. And finally, I can't remember who it was. If it was Ted or Dennis. He said, "Get those cars," and he said, "Tell them to follow that black pickup." Well, see, Bill has the black pickup, and so I told him to follow that black pickup. And there, that's when we did. See, well, at the time we didn't know it was a dead end. So Bill took him up that hill, and he thought he could get out another way. So all those cars followed him. Good grief, there was a whole bunch of them. And here, they went up, and then they left us down there standing alone. We didn't have no car. Have no way to get out of there. I was kind of glad it was a dead end, because they all left us, and we was, you know, just us was standing there. And even my husband was gone. He ran down there to come for him, but he was gone, because he followed Bill. And then pretty soon, here they all come back down on hill again, and they was all hollering because they said it was a dead end. So when that pickup was going by, it was the first one going by. When it was coming down hill, it was the last one. So that's when we ran. Down, so we all just ran and just threw ourselves in that pickup. And then that's when that refinery was burning, and everybody was scared to go by that refinery because they scared it was going to blow up. Oh, we had a hard time getting them through there. Finally, we convinced them to go through, and then we could go straight on to go fast. All those cops and patrolmen were standing, so they had to make a real sharp turn to go down the other way, and they couldn't go fast enough to make that turn. I mean, if they went fast, they would miss it.
Okay. A lot of AIM people were involved in that at Custer, huh?
Not really. There was a lot of Sioux.
People from the Pine Ridge?
Yeah. I went around that time and I told them to come up here. So it was really snowing that day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was
really cold.
It was really cold, and yet we brought about 7 cars from Pine Ridge, and those cars were just packed. So there was a lot of Oglala people.
Custer.
No, I'm the national wedding. because they could at least give us $20 or so for our expense money. When we come up here, it's worse than the boat fare almost.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to get out of. This is what we were trying to break away from, and it was the same way inside of OMB. Us and the securities were starving to death while the rest had plenty. And even cigarettes, the stuff that went into OMB in my name never got to me. It got to the White House and the Federal Business Place, and that was the end of that.
Everything's worked. People didn't pool all their resources, each little group had their own.
That one guy is darn mad because he said, why are you fancy up here? And he said, some people down at the information center are eating nothing but commodities.
Yeah.
This is what we're trying to get away from, and everywhere we turn after we come out of Wounded Knee, we hit a brick wall. And there's nobody there to help us. I've been trying to sue M&Ls ever since I've come out there. Nobody wants to take the case.
What is that case?
She had taken my checks away from me and sent them to me. Did that just happen?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What? Well.
That's how they pressured me off my job in Pine Ridge. Because they took my checks away from me and gave them to a bank when I signed a power of attorney for a new bank note for a different car. I didn't get the car, and the banker refused my banknote for a different car. My son already took over the other car, and this banker of mine wouldn't let him pay fix papers out for him on my own car. This was in August, and then in December, all of a sudden, Mrs. Nelson, treasurer of the tribal council, decides to take my checks away from me, just my checks that I was going to spend Christmas.
She took your checks away?
Yes, and gave them to that banker in Gordon, and on top of that, the last check was supposed to have been on December 22nd, and I only had 1 week's pay coming, and when I went after my check, nobody seemed to know anything about my check, so Mario Gonzalez was the legal aid in Pine Ridge, so I had him go with me, and Mrs. Nelson united up and down. And then on January 27th, I decided to look for my check again, and I went down to the NYC office to look for my check. It was a manpower office for me too.
Yeah.
And nobody knew, so I went up to the court home and I made me out a new timesheet for 1 week, and I took it down there. They said 1 o'clock, they'd give me my check. And they just passed the buck back and forth, and finally Corky Victoria Wonderfoot's daughter was working in there, and she said, come on, Gladys, she said, I'll accompany your files here. So I walked in this Alma Jacobs office with her. Alma was supposed to be in here. When her and I walked in there, she opened up my file, and there laid my December 22nd check stub, and it was made out in full for 2 full weeks and mailed to the First National Bank in Gordon, Nebraska.
Who's the banker down there?
Bob Keneally. Wow. Robert Keneally is his name. And he really pulled a lot of dirty stuff on me. He sold me a car with a faulty carburetor.
The banker did?
Yes. This was when I first started. I used to always deal with Fred Auden, but he got transferred into Valentine, Nebraska to a bigger bank. He's president there. So I started banking with, they referred me to Bob Keneally, and I never did like Bob Keneally because I know what a crook he is. But I thought I'd try to make a go of it, and I did deal with him. The first car he sold me was for $1,400. It was a 67 Oldsmobile, and it had a faulty carburetor. And I couldn't travel over 50. If I stepped on it, it would flood out the whole car. Now everything's power steering, power brakes, and everything. And the whole darn thing would quit. Then I'd have to stop and wipe out all the gas between the V and that motor. It'd be just from flooded. And this one time it caught fire and the car burnt up. And just the day before the car burnt up, I had gotten license for that car. Transfer and all cost me $78. And Bob Keneally swore up and down insurance would pay me that $78. And he'd see that I got a different car. Well, it went along for 2 weeks, and I finally got a car from the Ford garage, and they socked me $1,150, and they socked me $193 or $63, something like that, for insurance. So I had to start on that again, start paying for that. And
so
I,
you were paying $1,400 to Robert?
Bob Keneally.
And also $1,100?
Yes. Insurance should have at least covered the payments I made on that Oldsmobile. And my license and all, and then he should have added them onto this car that I was buying. But he didn't do either one, and he never did pay me for anything. And furthermore, I was in debt, so I went in and checked at the bank, and they had three or four checks of son Cheryl Allen. I banked in my little boy's name, Thomas Allen. Thomas Bruce Allen. I didn't use my name. And this banker had, I was in debt $450. I couldn't imagine because I went over my check stubs and everything over and over, and I just couldn't imagine. All this time, that banker had four or five checks belonging to some, he gave some false name, and they were stuck into my account. That banks work down the in their border towns.
How did Robert Keeley have available cars to sell to you?
The first car was his own.
That was his own car.
Yeah, that was his own. And he sold it to me through the bank. And he said, I'm not charging you any carrying charges or anything, but I can show you my stubs where I paid such high interest. About what dates my checks came into the, I was working at the hospital and my checks were being sent to the bank. He knew what dates the checks came in, but yet he would make it maybe a week or two. It might be bad, but they did bust the trunk. But I left my windows open like this because it was kind of hot when we left there. And obviously, but windows open like that, so I imagine they stuck a wire or something in it just unlocked the door because they didn't damage anything but the trunk.
How much
was it? Oh, it's all busted up.
They broke in so they could search them?
Yeah, it all shot up.
That was after you left the D that they did that?
Yes. They promised, CRS promised us that we was going to go up and get processed and then we can come back and drive our cars out. They lied to us. And then resident people were even threatened to walk down that hill. You can ask Fred Olson. See my friend and Jensen and the other one just couldn't do anything in it. I know.
They what?
They just couldn't do anything up there.
Yeah.
And they were hungry. tell about two knocking at the cup of water out there. Give us each one cup of water.
Yes.
has been in a lot of scrapes. They know what kind of dirt she pulls, but the whole tribal outfit pulls the same thing, but they're pretty underhanded about it. Just like, no, maybe there's some things they can't prove, but that money's got to be accounted for. And if they bounce Dorothy Richards off of the way, any one of them tribal jobs, she could drag the whole bunch down with her in scandal.
Yeah.
And this is why they can't hardly get rid of Dorothy Richards. But Geraldine, Janice, the one is, and Clarkie are the ones that put me up there and had me. They used me to bounce Dorothy Richards off that job. So Dorothy's husband came up there about 2 days later, and he came up to the old age home drunk, and he threatened to beat me up and tear the whole old age home up. But at the time, I just had a great big butcher knife in my hand. I was cutting some meat, and I told him, start tearing the thin place up, I said. And he got tears in his eyes. He said, I burned his wife's ass off of that job, and oh, he talked
to me. You mean you took that job after she had it?
But I didn't want the management. Yeah. I didn't want the management work because there was too much cash floating around up there. That's where Rooks comes in with the tribal government. Eugene Rooks, the housing authority man, the big shop. You see, he gets $34 a month off of them rooms, off of each client. And the house, the old age home, the Cohen home, gets $90 a month for their board.
For each person?
Each person. So they
and that
pay
comes from the welfare department?
Most of it. It's very few write out checks for their own, but I don't think any of them do that anymore.
Right.
Oh, but Mrs. Amien, but she sold a rotten house to Ace and Two Dogs for a hell of a price.
She what?
She's a crook, too. She sold an old rotten, beat-up house to Ace and Two Dogs and his wife for, I think, $1,500 or so. And they're all on welfare or Social Security. Now, I can't understand why a lot of them half-breeds never done a day's work in their life, and they can draw Social Security when they, at the age of 62, and any fool, but they say no, and they put them on old age pension, which doesn't
pay. Won't that fool bus get Social Security?
Yeah, a lot of them can.
Who decides this?
Well, I guess that's the state of Nebraska that goes even into the Internal Revenue. Like me, they tax hell out of me, and a man that's making $5, $6, $7 an hour, a half breed, never has to pay income tax like that. They've taken income tax away from me.
Can we perhaps see your papers someday?
Yeah, I'll show you my papers. One time they said I owed them $399 with old income tax. And, you know, Internal Revenue, you know them well enough that if they, the longer they write to you, the higher the price gets. But this, the more they wrote to me, the longer they wrote to me, the lower the amount went. So you know they were lying.
Right.
But this Dorothy Richards and the whole plan. Dorothy Richards and Bat Richards.
Is that her husband? Bat Richards?
Oh, no, that's an intermarried, inbred bunch of people.
Yeah.
Richards.
They are?
Yes. You see, Dorothy Richards' mother is Bat Richards' sister. But Dorothy Richards' mother lived with two men. One's name's Joe Twist, and one that she was legally married to Alec Sydenham, Alec Winters. So she had kids from both men, but she was legally married to Alec Winters, so they all go by Winters. And after Dorothy Winters grew up, she married this Wayne Richards, which is a blood relative to her mother and her uncles, her mother's family. So that's how she gained their name Richards back.
Uh-huh.
So Bat and Dorothy, they embezzled so much funds from what was that? I think it was a court. Right before. were charged. Yeah. And they were supposed to go to trial, and somehow or other, Dorothy Richards wanted to kill herself. I guess she almost killed herself so bad. Her uncle took the whole blame. But there was something that couldn't be proven, so he got out of it. Now, the same way with Dick Wilson and his wife. They ran this housing authority.
Yeah.
And they were charged for embezzling housing funds. They done away with so many thousands and thousands of dollars. So they were charged with embezzlement.
Where does all this money that they embezzled go to, you know?
They spent it. You don't know how spendthrift them people are. They want to be so rich in it. You ought to see how they live.
Like what? Buying cars?
Like eating steak every day, and their children throw away money, and they have 2-3 cars, and they just live fancy and high and mighty. They get high, expensive color TVs. You know, they just, I don't know what you'd call them. That's the poor people on this reservation that sneaked in here. They're the ones, you see, that they go crazy when they can handle money.
Yeah.
They don't know the management of a individual home, let alone being put into a place like that. They have starved to death. They were really pitiful. Well, Dick Wilson wasn't too bad off because his dad was a bootlegger and a cattle rustler and a horse thief. So he always made his way around, and they lived pretty good, you know. They always had beef, which was not beef. And I know one thing about Vincent Brewer's sister, Mrs. Rubidoux. Well, after I didn't want to take over the management of the old Cohen home, well, I asked Mrs. Rubidoux, and I knew she's a retired public health service worker, and she's also a representative in our city council, tribal council. So I knew she couldn't hang on to that job, but she'd had so much experience with diets and menus and work schedules.
Uh-huh.
So I asked her to come over and manage until we get straightened out. And she said, oh, I don't know. She said, maybe I'll be able to help you with a month or two. But she said, I couldn't stay on that job. I said, well, just so you come up and show us what to do. I said, I would be glad to take over. I know a little bit about it, but I said, anybody with common sense knows all that, but I said, right now I got so much to do if you take care of that. And in the windup, first 6 months, I did all that myself, and she just stole stuff and handled the money, and she was just like Dorothy Richards. That's her first cousin. And now she's gone.
Is that any relation to Ramon?
No. Her husband's a Rubidoux. She is a Brewer. These Brewers and Richards are all interrelated.
Brewers?
Brewers.
This is part of the bad how about Fullier?
Them white people.
They're white people?
They're helping themselves. All the people that are in there now are all people that their Indian rights. And now they're trying to draw up proposals and stuff just to, you know, cover up and renew some resolutions so they can all be enrolled members. That's why we want this Wheeler and Howard Act out. Because since the Wheeler Howard Act, we have even white people to enroll members.
Do what?
They have even white people as enrolled members. This Wheeler Howard Act of the tribal governing body didn't love that some of the presidents and the white man comes along and soft soaps them in, gives them $100 to $300, they'd sell out that quick and enroll them white people in our tribe.
Okay.
We didn't think that was right.
Is this bar up here still a goon bar?
Oh, yeah, that's where they're harassed. that's where they harassed Fluskra on them last Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Did you know that this bar that the goons go to now used to have a sign up that said no Indians? And now that's where the goons will have to go.
I never did go in this time. I don't know.
Or is this scenic?
Yeah. This is the goons bar hanging out.
But that man, I'll bet you, he's got almost all of a lot of stuff that came out of Wounded Knee. He's got a lot of stuff.
This guy right here?
Wounded Knee, yes. His name is Hallie Merle. He's done a lot of stealing on the reservation.
What's he's these people like here? Are they pretty nice people?
I don't know them.
Yeah.
lost the election, and Dick Wilson and One Feather were going up. She said Johnson gave all his names to Dick Wilson, so he's that much ahead.
Between the primary and the regular election?
Yeah.
And we heard that Dick Wilson paid Johnson Holy Rock and... couple of other people, $1,000 each or something like that to go around campaign for him.
And
big beef dinners.
I didn't attend any of his beef dinners or anything, but I did, let's see. He did help me out with $20 one day to go campaigning. Wanted to fill my gas tank up, but he never did fill my gas tank up, but he did give me $20 to campaign for me. And a year ago last January, I was taking my boy to New England, North Dakota to a school because he was getting too bad, you know, being with the Pine Ridge boys here. Oh, not a year ago. Let's see, my boy's been in college. Got to be 2 years ago this last January. He was in his senior year and he was getting so bad and he was beginning to run around with kids that were on top, some different things. And he was getting really bad, so I had to send him to a different school away from Pine Ridge. And he decided on this New England, North Dakota school. So when I was going to take him up there, Dick Wilson gave me $50, and he said, now that was way ahead of the time he was going to get elected. He said, next time we campaign, just keep this in mind, Gladys, he said, campaign for me.
That what?
He said, keep this in mind. He said, I'll help you out with $50. He said, now, and you campaign for me in this next election. And he said, if I win, he said, you'll get more than this. And I have never seen but that $20.
About this meeting that Wilson was supposed to have down in Rushville about a year ago after Raymond Yellow Thunder situation, it's something when they started the Goon Squad. Did you hear about that?
No, it was right after the election in April.
Yeah.
I came back from Rosebud on March 21st. We marched down there.
A year ago, right?
When they had that inauguration, Dick Wilson, a couple days later, was supposed to be in on a big tribal meeting or something they were supposed to have, and he was gone. So when I sent someone to Dick's house to see if he was home, I don't remember the exact person, but she came back and said, don't you know he's got all the Richard, Sonny Dion, Glenn Three Stars, all of them in his house? And that's where he started this Coon Squad. And it was right after his inauguration. But they claim he had been doing that before the general election.
We didn't see anybody inside this car when we came by it, but it was on fire. In the front seat there, there was just a little flame, a pretty big, not a big fire. So we took off, and this car just zoomed out, and these three cars stopped for a minute, and they followed us.
Herself out. And she went to this Black Bear's place. wagon, station wagon.
Yeah, the green one.
They got rid of it. The whole back end was from the artifacts from that school. And I know Jimmy's guys all saw it because they all walked up to the eagle. But I didn't peek in the car. I just was in front of the car. But Jimmy did peek. Thursday, wasn't it?
I'm pretty sure it was a Thursday night.
are the Gildersleeves then, you know? They were in their house?
Yeah, they were in their house.
Yeah.
We didn't see them, but that's what we heard.
Yeah.
She wrote a letter to her congressman that I can show you a copy of later. That there was guns on her all the time. They terrorized her every day.
She's lying. She came and went as she wanted.
Yeah.
She'd quarrel at us.
She'd
come into that house we were in and she'd quarrel at us.
Yeah.
She tried to order us around. But we quarreled right back at her. She even told me, she said, why don't you Indians go to Washington, D.C. and do this? I said, because, I said, this is our land. She said, this is our land. So I said, all right, we'll find out whose land it is. She said, I said, I'm not moving. And she said, well, I'm not moving for you Indians or anybody else. I'm sitting right here. I said, well, we'll see who sits last on this piece of land.
She's a white woman.
She's some kind of Indian. She's Chippewa Indian. Yeah, she's Chippewa. That's a hard language.
Yeah.
We used to razz at Belcourt's, Clyde Belcourt, but his cousin Agnes. I said, why don't you go back to your own reservation with your white husband and do this? I said, you know, you're not Mugwawa. So I really quarreled at her.
Did you hear anything about what's his name, Zinsky? And like Gildersleeve almost choking a boy to death?
That's the same boy. They told the other day, they told him they'd shoot him if they caught him on one of them horses again. And Szczynski said, you'd probably be better off dead anyway, he said.
Who's the little boy, do you know?
He's not too small now, but he's Edward Whitedress's son. So Edward and his wife were telling us about it. They'll tell you the same thing when we get up there.
Yeah. That's where we're going to grab the stuff. Today over in Scott's Bluff, I think, is he? back from the
January. Isn't there anything that could be done that he could come back into the state of South Dakota?
They're trying to get him back in.
But he has, it's on his bond, you know, his restrictions to his bond.
So what are the lawyers doing now? Just trying to get Russ Means out?
No, Stanley Holder.
Al Cooper's in jail still.
Al Cooper's still in jail. Andrew's still in jail.
Which one? What's Hillbilly's real name?
Al Cooper's not Al Cooper.
No, that's not
Henry. Is it Mullen? Dale Mullen? Yeah. I never did know.
He's that white guy.
Yeah.
I think he's out though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's out.
He's out. Yeah. Well, but they're also, the lawyers are also like trying to prepare for the trials, which start, in a couple of weeks. Pedro's trial has the first trial, and they're having this meeting this weekend. A lot of lawyers from other parts of the country are coming to see if they can make some plans about how to handle him. But it's kind of confused up there too. You know, it's a little bit distant from. Yeah, I'm sure you did, you know, and it's a little distant from Pine Ridge and the situation down here.
Yeah.
And it's, people are up there kind of isolated in a way.
Keep telling them they should move down on the reservation.
Yeah, like us too. I know I never get nothing. I don't get no help from nowhere. I don't know how I'm going to make my next rent and everything. And I said, all these wounded knee funds, where is it going?
Everybody's asking that question.
Yeah, everybody's got it, and everybody else has it stashed away, and there's nothing really for the people that's coming out that's supposed to help us. See what they get, $5.
Yeah.
Well, Francis Wise, Carla Blakey, and what's that, Tony Ackerman.
Yeah.
When I was up there, when that night we brought my brother's body out, that Saturday when I was up there, and Joanne Bad, what's her name, Badhand, June Badhand, them all had rolls of money in their plans. Carla Blakely, especially, I was sitting right there because I made a phone call. Now, that's when they had all three phones of communication. And somebody called her and said they were going to wire her money. So she took that money and she wanted it in her name. So I sat there and, well, my sisters, they went up town. So I sent her a communication center and she brought that money back. But she just had a big old handful of money. And I always wondered what happened to that money. And Tony Ackerman had a paper sack full of money running around Rosebud. I got one of those checks because one of those checks fell out of her paper sack. So then Theta had them. When Theta wanted to go home, she gave me the check for the money. So I took the check and I had Wounded Knee Defense Fund on it. And it was from Cheyenne, Wyoming. And so I took that check and I signed the Wounded Knee Defense Fund. Then I signed my name underneath. But I called John Thomas and I told him about that check. And he said that was all right. That money he gave to Nita to go home back to Denver for a bus ticket.
Yeah.
How much?
What happened to all of that?
How much money do you need for your rent?
I'm back on May now, and June is coming up. I'll have to have at least $100. I fought to lower my rent. I fought with groups until they kept lowering it. They got it down to $45 a month. I got it down that far. I fight with them. I don't care who I am. Anybody. I'll fight with anybody that thinks they got it. But I haven't really looked into a lot of things. I'm going to see that Sister Hawk.
She got a lot of money, we heard. She got thousands of dollars from some church.
$40,000?
$30,000. Some says 30, some say 40, but Lovey told me it was $40,000 now because she's seen the check and she saw the telegram that it came in.
So what happened to that money?
Mr. Hawk still has it as far as we know.
Well, there's a lot of confusion all around about where different money is because there has been a lot of money raised, you know, and people have gone around speaking in different cities, but
no money comes in though.
I think one thing is people aren't careful, you know. People get $100 in their hand and they go out and think, well, let's go out to dinner tonight and, you know, taking a movie and stay in a motel for a couple of days, and they forget, you know, as soon as going to run out.
Yeah, it shocked me the way that Mary had money last night.
She had all kind of money last night.
Yeah.
Who was that?
It's Mary.
Corey.
Decora.
Is that Sam DeCorey's? She related to Sam DeCorey?
I don't know. I don't know. But that one that took us to that motel, she was a Ron Baker and Sharon. And who that other guy was, I don't know. But I know Carla Blakely and Frances Wise. The reason they kicked Frances Wise out of Oklahoma AIM chapter is because she was the biggest ripoff there. And everybody that we talked to told us not to trust her one bit, not any further than you could see her. Because they said she'll rip you blind if you let her. She's the one first person that I seen when I walked in up there.
Up at Starville?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she's working up there.
Bad Hat. I worked with him down there.
that time they was trying to put those guys in the barn, then I got mad and I called at that Travis woman. And I said, those people that live up to Star Village, well, there was a lot of them up there then, that time I knew there was. I said, why don't they give up their beds? I said, for the people that came out of Wounded Knee, I said, one night wouldn't make much difference, I said.
Yeah.
And she said, well, this is what she said. She said, no, she said, we just don't have the money to spend. So I said, you got $500, you're in that bad hat. Well, I knew his name then, but I can't think of it now. I said, and you were supposed to buy groceries for the people in Wounded Knee. When they went down in to get those groceries, there was only 2 sackfuls. So we want to know what happened to the rest of that money. And she said, well, we have a receipt. So I said, well, I've seen a receipt. It wasn't no $500 worth of groceries. I said, I can tell you that right now. I said, and I said, how are these people supposed to eat? And she said, well, she said, we're trying to fix a lunch for them. So I said, those men that came out of Wounded Knee, some of them went in the day we did, and I said, they came out. I said, they should have something better than just a lunch. So then they called over to someplace and they got them, you know, something to eat. And that's when Brennan Belcourt said, well, he said, he walked in there and he named that man and he said, we don't want no drinking around here. He said, we don't want nobody to be drinking around here. He said, you tell that to them. So I said, you just shut your mouth. I said, anytime we want to go get drunk, I said, we'll go get drunk. I said, and you're not going to stop us. And I said, if I decide to go get drunk, you're not going to tell me where to go. I said, I was at Wounded Knee. And I said, I didn't see your big black face down there. I said, oh, I was really mad. And you're that bad hat. I said, well, he said, there's bars downtown. So I said, well, you should know. I said, you've been spending all our money down there. So I said, you just... Oh, I was mad. I just really gave it to him. And those guys, Horace and Whiskey and Tom and Jerry.
Where does White Hop live?
Is this Anderson?
No. Yeah, this is Man. Do we have to stop here?
It was Wounded Knee, man.
Yeah, where White Hop lives.
White Hop?
About this meeting.
I know where he lives.
Does he live here in Madison?
Is he... I'm wondering if it's the same person that we visited once before.
He sure did. It's a small cowboy hat.
He was beaten up during
one... Yeah,
okay, I'll take